Talk Show.
Recorded live.
What up, people? This is Speaking Like You Thinking Radio. I'm your host, Nas, joined by the All-Star cast. Different crew tonight. We just going three deep, but we still going to put it down, man, like always. Been a minute, so let me reintroduce the panel. Tonight I am joined by Cowboys fan extraordinaire, king of fantasy football, the great James Roberts. What up, James?
Yeah, what's up, fellas, man? I want to let y'all know I don't really have nothing for y'all on this opening, but it's your boy.
All right. And I'm also joined tonight by the founder of OneManCave.com, great sports personality, controversial truth, Naughty Dread. What up, Naughty?
Oh, man, you already know, man. Same suit, Jerry Heath.
Yes, sir. And let's get into
I know it's been a while, so you know how I like to start out with a little controversy. You know, James claims that he's the king of fantasy football. And I gotta dispute that because I'm the champion in my league and I believe my league is the most competitive league out there. And it's an open challenge. You can go to onemancave.com and ask me if you want an invite sent to you, let me know. I send an invite. It's $100 this year. Because we playing, it's the third year. We serious about this thing. We're going to another level. If you really want the competition, man, come to the real league. Come to the WCFL, man. WCFL, man.
Let's do this. I'll come in your league, and you come in my league, and we'll do what's up.
I usually only play in two leagues because I got another league that I play in, but I get in your league and mess around and win a championship for just because it's easy. It's a given.
I know I'm going to play in three leagues, but I pick up another league just for you so you can witness our greatness.
Yeah, well, connect me. Hey, you got to show them not this tough. Tell them not tough over there, man.
Hey.
You get lost in the shuffle quick.
Yeah, both of y'all playing tough leagues, so I want to see how this goes down, man.
I ain't never been lost in no shuffle since the first time I started playing.
We're going to see how that goes down, man. We got the challenge. Challenge was accepted, so we're going to see in fantasy football this year. With that said, though, man, I got to go back to Naughty's tagline of same soup, just reheated. We got the NBA Finals rematch, Spurs and Heat. Spurs lead 2-1 now after last night and one of the greatest shooting performances ever seen. Let me get your thoughts on adjustments for next game before we even get it. No, let's go to the game first. To hell with it. We got to talk about that. Watching the Heat get their eyes shot out that first quarter, man, what were you thinking? First quarter. Let's go to James.
I started getting real sleepy. I was like, okay, Danny Green picking everybody's pocket. And scoring. Kawhi Leonard is there going to shoot lights out and stealing the ball and playing defense and taking it to the hole and shooting threes. I'm like, okay.
Now, you ain't lied about that one. You named it the major two culprits, man. Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard got it in last night. Naughty, your thoughts, first quarter?
I mean, the first quarter was just, it was a magnificent barrage of offense. I mean, you talk about scoring 41 points against Miami, who just the game before had held San Antonio to 44% shooting from the floor, you know. They just got hot, man. And when you get hot, things like that can happen. But they shot 87% from the floor in the first quarter. And it's just an anomaly, man. It's something that you probably never going to see again. And it's an NBA championship record. So, you know, it's something that has never happened. So it's nothing that we can really explain other than just to say what actually happened. Guys were in shot. They were perfect from the field in the first quarter. Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard.
Right. In the game of adjustments, you have to say advantage Popovich right now. He changed the lineup. He came out with that old starting lineup with Diaw at center to move the ball better and to space the floor better, and it seemed to have worked. In your mind, what's Coach Spo's counter to that next game?
Well, I mean, Pop changed the lineup. To me, that was just like an amoeba change. I mean, it didn't really matter that he changed the lineup because San Antonio could have won game two with the lineup that they had if they could have just closed the deal in the fourth quarter. They just couldn't close, maybe Ginobili in particular. So, you know, he changed the lineup. Folks can go try to make an adjustment, but it really is no adjustment to be made because they just got the matchup advantages over Miami. They're bigger than them inside, so they should win the rebounding battle every game, even though game two, Miami won the rebounding battle, but that should never happen. So, you know, it's just some things. Right now, San Antonio got all the matchups. As I said in quick jab on onemancave.com, the only way that Miami can really win is they play their A++ game and San Antonio let them shoot something like 54% from the floor like they did in game two. If that happens, then Miami can win. But that's how good Miami has to play just to squeak a win. So, I mean, the advantage is just San Antonio all around.
Let me go to James. Your thoughts on Pop's lineup change? Should Spoelstra try to counter that lineup? Your thoughts?
Well, whatever, Spoelstra don't really have anything that he can do for that particular lineup. The only thing he can really do is just hope they play better defense. They might need to work on some of their switching on the pick and rolls and everything, mate. And they were getting killed. San Antonio was running like the whole 24-second shot off and making a layup or making a three or something, and the person that was making the shot was like wide open. So they're gonna have to work. They might have to work in some zone or something just to slow that down.
Yeah, man, it's assignment basketball. You gotta know your matchups and who you can run at hard, who you have to close out slowly to. And this is the thing that kind of is really irking me about how Miami is playing. It's the overreaction to when the ball goes into Duncan or anybody in the post. They're treating them as if this is 05 Tim Duncan. And
the shooters waste too much space. That's why, you know, I think you have to really sit down and analyze what you're watching on the tube because Tim Duncan is still playing on a very high level. He's still the best big man in the game. And he goes, if you one-on-one Tim Duncan, he's going to score. It's just going to happen. So they have to be, focused on getting a double team, getting it done in the time and the fashion, which they are not. And that's why Tim Duncan has had success. You know, they got to get the ball out of Tim Duncan's hand. I think the Spurs are doing themselves a disfavor by not going to Tim Duncan more.
I think this is why that plays out that way, though. When you play it to where you're playing 50-50, sometimes we're going to double, sometimes we're not. You're giving shooters shots, and you're still giving Duncan a lot of looks down low. I feel like if you play Duncan one-on-one, you got to force him to get 40 and beat you. I think that's where the series is right now. Because if you're giving up both, I don't think you got a shot. So I say you make Duncan beat you. You make him be that Hall of Famer.
And that's what I would like
them to do. 30-plus a game for the rest of the series.
Yeah, and I would like them to do that because Tim Duncan is more than capable of producing a big game like that if you just go one-on-one in the whole night. Like, he's just too dominant of a big man. They don't have a matchup. They don't have an answer for Tim Duncan in this series.
And yeah, but this is my thing, though.
Curry got the advantage.
When you say, okay, they don't have an answer for Duncan, I agree. But when you decide that you're going to play it half and half, then you don't have an answer for these shooters either. You're making these guys better players than what they are. I tell everybody, stay home on Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard. If they're going to beat you off the dribble legitimately, let it be done. But if they got to beat you off you running out trying to close out, man, you're making Danny Green and Kawhi look like all world. So I say you got to go get them, man. Got to pick your poison out here. But I see your point about Duncan and who he is, so I'm not discounting him. That's just my idea of how you could beat him. if you're the Spurs and how you can beat the Heat, can y'all give me a little on that? Since we gave the Miami angle, what's the Spurs angle on finishing this?
Well, if you go ahead, John, you go first.
Okay. Well, the Spurs angle is they're going to have to keep doing what they're doing, moving the ball around and trying to find an open shot. Miami is more athletic than they are. So almost at every position. So they have to keep moving the ball around. They're going to have to keep working their bench in because Tony Parker was getting worn down, and then Patty Mills was coming in and running the offense like they weren't even missing a beat. So he kept
that boy shooting
with
confidence.
Yeah, he looks like a totally different Patty Mills. He's out there knocking down threes. They're not even touching the net. They need to keep working on moving the ball around. Making Miami use the whole shot clock to try to defend them. And they need to keep finding the open shooter and just keep pushing the ball like they're doing.
Yeah, because they damn sure are pushing that thing, man. Shout out to them for that. Nadi, your thoughts on the Spurs' ways of pulling
off the chip? I mean, if they keep shooting 87%. 76.5%, that'll work. But really, man, long as they keep running the system and moving the ball, they're going to be in the game. But I think they can really wrap this thing up if they just feed the ball to the post more to Tim Duncan and let him facilitate the offense. Because right now, Tony Parker is really having trouble, orchestrating the offense. So why not let Tim Duncan operate the offense off the post? And if they're one-on-one, you're going to score. If they don't, then they double. Then you can start to get the ball moving around and guys getting the open shot. But the Spurs almost let the Miami Heat back in the game because they couldn't create a good pace to slow the ball down. And they were going
they got up by so much, and there was so much time left in the game. It's hard to keep those leads, man.
I know. You're right.
Yeah.
So,
true. But Miami didn't have enough. You could tell they didn't have enough to finish that comeback. Because when they were making those runs, if San Antonio would hit a shot or a three, it looked like they were almost crushed every time the Spurs scored when they would make those runs, man. And you know those legs were gone by the end. Good effort, but hell, if you play defense like that in the first quarter, you kind of deserve what you get.
Yeah.
Mario Chalmers has the weight of a new contract and the offseason uncertainty. Has he cracked under that pressure, man? Because, as bad as he's played this series, he hasn't really played well all playoffs.
I'm saying what pressure this man is a winner, man. Everywhere he goes, he's a champion. There's no pressure. This is all about LeBron and D-Wade. So there's no pressure on him. And if the Miami Heat don't win the championship, I'm not going to look at Mario Chalmers and be like, he didn't get it done. I'm going to look at D-Wade, LeBron, and Bosh and be like, they didn't get it done.
I'm not talking about legacy. I'm talking about his own life.
Yeah, I'm talking about his life. Like next year, you know what's gonna happen? He's gonna be playing point guard for somebody. He get paid money because he a woman and he can play the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gonna be all right. I don't think he can harm himself. I don't care how bad he plays in this series. I don't think he can harm himself none in this championship. He's in the championship.
All right, well, let me take it to James in a different way. He's going to have a job in the NBA. I agree with Nadi on that. But he might not be on the champions anymore. He might not have that high prestige anymore. He might end up in Charlotte or somewhere. Who knows? Do you think that's weighing on him, James?
At this stage of his career, you got a championship, so now you go get the money. So you go get the money, try to win somewhere else. When he goes somewhere else, they're going to be looking at him as the man because he's been in three finals. So instead of us always looking at a TV, seeing Chris Bosh, D-Wade, or LeBron grabbing him and yelling at him, we'll see him dead hit somebody's face and yell at them. And so when he come in, he's going to have instant credibility. And I think Norris Cole is about to push him out anyway. He's going to be a cheaper option.
Mm-hmm. That's true too. So I think he knows his days are numbered in Miami. And I think it's messing with him, man. I've never seen Mario Chalmers shoot this badly as he has this playoff run. But who knows, man? Hopefully he can pick it up the rest of the series, because I want to see Mario play good, man, and get a nice deal somewhere. Everything y'all hit on as far as the series, I agree with. As far as the Spurs having to keep the floor spread, and Miami, they're going to have to involve Bosch a little more. And will we see the return of Michael Beasley or Greg Oden in this series? Or does that mean Spoelstra's desperate if we see either one?
Yeah. Yeah, everything you just said right now. We won't see those guys unless they get to a situation of desperation. Like, if Spurs just feed it to him back in the whole time and he scores 40, then you're going to have to play Greg Oden there. I mean, that type of thing, you know, can make that type of move happen. But other than that, yeah, I don't see a situation where you're going to see Beasley or Greg Oden. They just made free money this year.
Free money. Can't knock it. James?
Nope.
As of right now, matter of fact, they might play tomorrow because Miami might blow out the Spurs tomorrow, so they might get a chance to play tomorrow. Other than that, unless there's something drastic that happens as far as that rebounding and somebody controlling the lane or whatever, we probably won't see them. And then Greg Oden couldn't guard anybody on the court except for Tiago Splitter, because they put him on Tim Duncan. He's going to eat him alive. So he'll be out of the game in 5 minutes in foul trouble.
Yeah. Hey, I definitely don't disagree with that. He's definitely going to come in hacking. Let me get y'all take on the series. It's 2-1 right now. Let's get your idea of what's going to happen. I'm going to lay mine out first. And I think Miami wins this thing in six. Let me get y'all serious prediction. We've seen three games.
Well, I'm already on record before the season saying the Spurs are going to win a championship in six. And I'm staying with that. You know, you could have went to sleep the whole season if you would have read my article. And everything that happened would have happened. And when you woke up, it would have been like you already knew it, because everything was happening according to what I said. So, yeah, the Spurs are going to win this thing. See, just because they got the matchup advantage, man. If the Miami Heat can win, pull this off, that's a great feat for LeBron James and those guys, man, because they should not win this series.
All right. James?
I pick Miami to win in six. For them to do it now, they're going to have to win the rest of the games. But at the worst, they'll win at seven. I picked them to win anyway, regardless. So, and if you want to talk about advantages, Spurs do have probably more advantages, and that might be basically because of their bench. But LeBron James, and I've seen this in the last few games, he's the best player on both teams. And when he elevates his game, there's nothing no one can do to stop him, period.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting if we see some of that Bron from game two again, to where he's hitting those pull-ups like he was. But I don't know, man. What's y'all take so far on Derek Fisher? $5 million a year coaching the Knicks.
Getting paid more not to play than he ever got paid to play. That's a beautiful thing. You know, I don't know, man. You know, New York got issues. Maybe he can coach, maybe he can't. I know he has aspirations to be an executive one day. He knows basketball. We know that Jason Kidd seems to do all right, but Jason Kidd had players. So if you can get some players in New York, if LeBron James goes to New York or something like that, then he'll have a shot. But other than that, I'm just as interested as the rest of the world to see how Derek Fisher is going to do as a New York Knicks head coach.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, that's it? What, Nas dropped off?
Nas wants to drop out.
Yo.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, my bad, man. You got dropped off. Before I left, I was trying to get that Derek Fisher question in. Did y'all answer it while I was out?
I did. All right,
James.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with he's making more money not to play than he is to play. I don't think any good coach or a great coach would have taken that next job anyway. So he had to get somebody that's
yeah, it might be a struggle that first 2-3 years.
Yeah, because I mean they don't have any players. I don't see any reason for Carmelo to stay. So they're gonna have to try, and they have so many bad contracts. It's just not I don't understand.
No draft picks.
Yeah, no draft picks, so it's going to be hard.
Yeah. The only thing I'm looking at this as, and y'all know me, so I'm going to take it here with this one. To see Derek Fisher get $5 million a year, I'm happy that happened, because typically black coaches get that $2 million slot, and nobody gets more than that. So I'm glad Derek Fisher got that. That might change the arrangements in the NBA as far as black coaches getting paid like other coaches. Because if you pull up everybody, man, you look at it, all of them got that same $2 million deal. So, interesting. But, I mean, it also has to be a little tough. Because all these other coaches who've sat on the bench and put in the work and done all that stuff that they're supposed to do to get a job, and they can't get a sniff of a job, and guys are now retiring and getting those jobs. Yo.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought y'all got dropped. All right, anyway, but yeah, that coaching situation, I don't know. It's a little interesting, but glad to see Fish get it. But
I'm wondering if this is gonna be a continuous trend that we're gonna see going forward with these guys. You know, is KD gonna be the next guy to be a head coach or somebody like that? Who would be the next guy to go from player to coach? Because we've seen Derek Fisher, you know, and kid doing it consecutive years. Another thing about Derek Fisher being a coach, you know, I have a problem. When I know for a fact that your head coach is a better point guard than your point guard, you know. So yeah, maybe they should have paid Derek Fisher to play point in New York. You know, I don't know. They paying people to do the right job. You know, maybe you want to pay still the coach and not be the GM. You know, I don't know.
Shout out to Raymond. No, that's dead on right there, man. I agree 100. I'm starting to look at this thing like it might be a cash grab between Phil and Derek. They're basically going out to New York and kind of hitting James Dolan in the pocket.
Exactly. Probably they might well get Dennis Rodman the kid. Sign Rodman up. They home go ahead and eat.
And when you posted that question on Twitter, I answered with Dre Miller. I think Dre Miller might be a candidate to coach. He knows the game well. His knowledge of the game kept him in the league probably 7 to 8 more years than what his talent could.
Yeah, but the problem I have with, and I don't have a problem with Andre, but I know that he's a great player, you know, really. He just, you know, he doesn't have the winning track record that Jason Kidd and Derek Fisher had that allowed them to kind of, I think, to be kind of be able to be sold as a player coach like that, because both of those guys, you know, they got high IQs and they was winners. You know, they weren't on a high level. They weren't on a high stage. So, you know, I don't know if Andre Miller would fit necessarily fit that mold because of that. But I definitely do, you know, understand that the guy is awesome. You know,
right.
he knows the game, you know, definitely in that point guard position. He'll be coaching. You know, he'll coach him, but he'll probably have to go the assistant route before he gets the opportunity to coach on that level.
Yep, he probably had to do it the real way like everybody else had to. I'm going to run through this real quick because I know this don't deserve that much time, but I think it's interesting. I make the statement that Lance Stephenson will be this summer's Monte Ellis, meaning that everybody's not going to really, you know, take him too seriously. He's got a lot of little knocks on him that people are bringing up more than what talent he has, and somebody's going to get him for a good price and be happy. What do y'all think Lance Stephenson prospects are after, you know, all the antics against Miami? People really don't respect him too much right now.
The Knicks are overpaid for him. The Bulls are overpaid for him because they don't have anybody that can score. There's a whole bunch of teams, bad teams out there, and good teams that are overpaid for him. Everybody, ESPN, keep talking all that noise and trying to clown the man. The man gonna get paid. They're not gonna stop that man check.
Yeah.
I think the Hawks might try to get him.
They might. I just hope that he's not J.R. Ryder. And as long as he's not J.R. Ryder, I think somebody's trying to get a nice talent out of a nice player out of the showing. Last season. You know, the guy can play. He got all tools. He got talent. You can question, you know, some of the things upstairs, but when you got a guy who's that talented, he's going to have an ego and he's going to have some things that are going to be questionable about him. So, you know,
right.
I'm okay with him. I understand that the guy has talent. He got the tools, you know, to pay the bills. So, you know.
Yeah. As long as you get him for a good price. Yeah, as long as you get him for a good price. If you overpay him, it's ridiculous. But you get him for a good price. That's a damn deal.
He'll probably get his max.
You think so?
Yeah, he'll get his max, whatever he can get. Whatever the max is, he going to get that.
So you said after some weeks go by, all that silly stuff will get out of people's head and they'll look at it in the real way.
Because people want to improve their team. People trying to win championships, man. You can get a guy who can shoot, rebound, pass, dribble, you know, you want to get those guys on your team. So, and there ain't a lot of guys in the league who can do that on a high level, and he's one of those guys who can. So you pay for that, and then you just hope that, you know, he can act right.
Right. Staying in the NBA before we get into all of the football, college, and all that stuff we got. Seeing this story, this rumor leaked out there that Dan Gilbert was going to possibly pay Calipari as much as $80 million. Does that let you know that the Cleveland franchise is just inept and it's going to be terrible and anybody who can should get the hell out of there?
I mean, no, it lets you know that Dan Gilbert is trying. He wants to win. He wants to win the championship. He wants to win in Cleveland. And sometimes to win, you got to do different things. Definitely in Cleveland. The same way in Atlanta. You know, last season, somebody that Atlanta might have to overpay for because you got to get somebody. And people ain't rushing to come to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Like,
No, I got no problem with you doing that with a player, but to say you're going to go OD like that on Calipari?
Because why?
If Danny Ferry did that, you'd be killing him.
No, I wouldn't because I understand why he's doing that. If you bring Calipari in, Calipari draws other players. Other players want to play for Calipari. You know, he got a good relationship with LeBron James. He got a good relationship with the Derrick Roses and those guys. So, you can get the coach in. Now you might can start getting some of the players in and change the culture of your franchise, and then you can maybe win. And that's what they're trying to do. So, I kudos to Dan Gilbert. That's the kind of thing that if I'm a fan of Cleveland, even though we don't get Calipari, I want to hear that we try and do whatever we can do to bring a winning product to the city.
I got a lot of respect for Calipari on the college level as far as what he does on the court, off the court, that's a whole other thing. But as far as him as an NBA coach, spending that kind of money, no way. No way. You pay Pop that kind of money. You don't pay some guy. You don't pay nobody without a record.
Well, it depends on what, you know, your philosophy on winning. Do coaches win or do players win?
Players win.
All right, so you gotta get players, and Colin Perry draws players. So that it ain't even about his coaching; it's about his recruiting ability.
Man, he can recruit people to Cleveland.
Well, they hope he can. That's what the hope is. The hope is that he'll be able to get one of these guys who even help, you know. Because see, you gotta understand with Colin Perry, people talk about, you know, some of the off things that he's done as a coach that has got a couple programs sanctioned. But he was helping people's families. You know what I'm saying? He was helping these young kids' families. Like, these kids and their families and their mamas remember this going forward. So,
I got no problem with that.
So if it comes down to, you know, a big-time player having to choose between Cleveland and another place like Atlanta or somewhere, and Colin Perry's in Cleveland, they might opt to go to Cleveland because of what Colin Perry did. You know, they still going to be getting paid. So, you know, I just think that,
it's,
you
like,
know,
your
every
boy
time
Danny
you try to bring
– ain't no quick fixes, man. There is no coach who's going to come in and get you players and all. No, you got to hire a good GM, a good coach,
bring in the right players,
and get a free agent and hit the lottery.
Well, we've seen contrary to that. We've seen players and GM go to places and be able to get players.
Yeah,
I mean, players,
that's what I mean.
You got to
put a competent group together.
Exactly, and that's what they're trying to do in Cleveland. They fired the general manager. They fired the head coach. Now they're trying to get a new they got a new general manager. They're trying to get the head coach. Now they're trying to change the culture. But he
hired that dude. He signed Mike Brown to a 5-year deal, then fired him after the first year. This dude is running that franchise into the ground, man.
You're right. He did fire Mike Brown. But, hell, we can sit here and criticize him for firing Mike Brown, but that was a popular thing to do. You know, Mike Brown didn't get it done. I mean, I don't think Mike Brown is the worst coach in the NBA, but he's not what I consider a great coach, a guy who you can, you know, Mike Brown is a good, he's still getting paid by the Lakers and the Cavs. He good. But if you can get Colin Perry in there, and Colin Perry can somehow can convince LeBron James in there to come, then it's all working. And that's the hope. That's what they're rolling dice on.
Man, LeBron ain't going nowhere when Dan Gilbert's name is on his check.
I agree. But, you know, at this day and age, man, owners are the owners, man. These players know that. You know, it don't matter who you play for. As long as you're getting, they can that check.
Yeah, it's a little different with them just because of Dan Gilbert's stupidity once again. If he didn't say what he said in 2010, maybe they would have a shot at LeBron this summer. But shot himself in the foot again. Checking the log, looks like we're joined by professor of all things sports, the great Craig Barzee. What up, Barzee?
Hey, nothing, man. What up, y'all?
Yeah?
Hey, what's up, man?
Sitting here talking. We talked the finals, and now we're just getting into the side NBA stories, you know, transitioning into football. You want to say anything about the finals as far as give us your prediction and your thoughts on the game real quick?
Well, man, it seems like it's going to be a back-and-forth case of adjustments, man. But just speaking towards last night's game, man, I mean, I don't know. I give a lot more credit to San Antonio than I do, you know, what people saying that, you know, Miami could have played better defense. Obviously, they could have, but, I mean, San Antonio was on top of the game, man. They came out, and they took control of the game and pretty much led wire. Bellinelli hit a big shot when Miami was, you know, on their way back. He kind of hit a shot to stem the tide, but I don't know. I think it's going to be a back and forth game adjustment. I'm hoping Miami wins, man. You know, I don't like the people that give LeBron all the hate for no reason, man. I have no idea why they hate LeBron, but I'm hoping Miami takes it, man. That's what I hope happens. Whether or not that does happen, man, I'm not sure.
All right. Well, I went Miami at 6, so go ahead and lay out what you think, though, boss.
So Miami at 7, man.
Go Miami 7? Okay, we got Nadi at San Antonio in 6. James, you said Spurs in 7?
No, Miami in 7.
Miami is 7, my bad. Okay. So not okay. We got one person going that route. Who we got from New York on here? Somebody
what
just laying on the phone?
Oh.
Okay. I understand. People like to play. We'll just skip that and keep it moving. Now, this is the other thing. Nadia, I really wanted to talk to you about this, especially the other day. I couldn't get a hold of you. The All-NBA teams came out.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big thing because it's part of people's legacy. At times, it could be something that kind of stops you from being a Hall of Famer or gets you into being a Hall of Famer. So,
I won't go that far, but it can. But we saw how Paul George got $7 million booth. It can affect how much groceries you can put in your house. So
yes, sir. Paul George got that $7 million escalator for making 13. But
exactly.
But yeah, man, this is big, and I feel like some writers don't like certain people, and they take it out on them through their vote. So let me read the teams out to y'all. All-NBA first team, Bron, Durant, Joakim Noah, Harden, CP3. Second team, Blake Griffin, Kevin Love, Dwight, Steph Curry, Tony Parker. Third team, Paul George, LaMarcus Aldridge, Al Jefferson, Goran Dragic, and Damian Lillard. Did anybody notice two big names missing?
I did. I noticed Tim Duncan went on there. That's the only problem with me. That's the only person I have problem with not being on that list.
Tim Duncan. The only person you got.
He should have been on first team All-NBA. No worse than second. No way Dwight Howard is better than Tim Duncan ever. Not now yet. Like, has he ever.
I knew you'd find a way to shoot Dwight in the foot on this. Okay, you saying Duncan should be there. Barzy?
The only problem I have with the list, man, I'm not saying that necessarily I missed any names I could think of that probably should be on there. You went through the list pretty quick, but I know LeBron was not a unanimous decision.
Yeah,
I don't see how that could have been for first team. I'm not sure how that was.
That was fun. James.
First team All-NBA?
Yeah.
What were the names that once again, if you don't mind?
First, LeBron, Durant, Noah, James Harden, and Chris Paul.
Okay. I can go with that. Well, if we're just going by this year, I thought Noah played his tail off this year, up his points on his rebound. So Tim had a down year this year as far as his scoring and his rebounding. And so, but I don't have a problem with that.
But I look at Tim like I look at Dwayne Wade. They were managing his minutes, so I knew that would kind of hurt him as far as postseason awards. So Tim didn't play as many minutes as he normally would. We all know how many games Dwayne Wade sat out. But, no, the two names that are missing, to me, that really stick out are Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook. Melo, I can understand they had a terrible season. You could say I'm not going to reward a guy for just scoring and then losing a lot. Russell Westbrook went to the Western Conference Finals.
But he was hurt, too, a lot. He missed a lot of games, man.
Well, he missed a lot, but, I mean.
He was actually hemmed up twice this season. He came off and then he had to be put back on, man. But, I mean, maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe that had something to do with it.
That's a good point. That's a fair point. And the reason this bothered me so much was because Lillard, of course, should be there. He's a young dude. He's on his way. But that Goran Dragic is a stretch. Like, I voted him most improved player in the NBA. I think he's good. But a third-team All-NBA guy, Goran Dragic is not that. And Barzy raised a great point on my Westbrook argument, saying the guy was hurt for a significant amount of time. So I see that. But
yeah, Westbrook missed over 20 games, maybe 30.
Mm. So that is a lot.
I ain't have a problem with him not being on there. You got to play. It's a reward for people that play. Reward them people that play. Like, we had guys go to the All-Star, and they ain't
playing. Hey, that's true. That's true. clap it up for Barzy coming in and ruining my argument on this. Appreciate that, Barzy. Nah, nah. Y'all shut that down. That makes sense. He missed too many games. But Goran Dragic, man, third team All-NBA, man, come on, bro. It's out of hand.
That's probably close.
Let
that man have his little moment.
Let him shine. All right, man, let the man shine. I get off.
Man, he had great numbers, though. You can't argue with the numbers.
He's good.
The numbers he had was great, man. I mean, I don't think his numbers would have been that great if old boy from Bledsoe would have played the entire year.
Yeah, he got hurt. Look, I was the person telling people a few years back that he was better than Jeremy Lin and people should go after him. So I'm a fan of Dragic.
I'm okay with him being on the list. Was DeAndre Jordan on that list?
No.
Yeah, I thought he should have been on that list. You talking about somebody who led the league in rebounding, led the league in block shots, and led the league in field goal percentage. I mean, that's a vast improvement from what we've seen his whole career. You know,
DeAndre Jordan, a guy can at least deserve a third team All NBA.
I mean, here, take Dwight Howard out, let him get his slot. You know, because I mean, he made a bigger impact than Dwight Howard did this season.
Dwight Howard got bumped in the first round, man.
These folks got bumped in the first round, man. Come on, man.
Still throwing shots at that boy. Well, look. Yeah.
Did Paul Millsap get third team NBA?
Nah, he didn't make it.
Or Jeff Team? You think they were good enough to make third team NBA?
Nah, they didn't deserve it. They ace on the 500, man.
Yeah,
they ace on the 500. You don't deserve no accolades for being on the team that were AC on the 500.
Yeah, and I can't lie to anybody on the list you can leave off. Because you're talking about Steph Curry, Tony Parker, Goran Dragic, Damian Lillard as far as the guards. So, I couldn't see any of those guys getting on there, man. And you damn sure ain't going to leave Paul George or LaMarcus Aldridge off the year they had.
No.
So, yeah, that's a tough one, man. The last basketball topic, the man who has no home right now, who's new coach GM, had the nerve to say the man shouldn't be frustrated. He should just know that it's a team sport and he needs to play better or, you know, figure it out himself or how he can make the team better. Flip Saunders had the nerve to say that. We're talking about the great Kevin Love, man. 1 year left on the deal. He's making it plain to Minnesota that he will walk if they don't trade him. What do y'all see for Kevin Love? Trade, or you think he stays and has a Carmelo type year to where he's getting booed and shit, or what?
Go to Miami, trade Chris Bosh for Kevin Love.
Oh man, nobody loves Bosh, man. Not even.
He does. I like Bosh, but Kevin Love is a bigger body. He can rebound, and he takes care of multiple. He does the same thing that Bosh does as far as stretching the court, and he's a bigger body.
Man, Chris Bosh is better than Kevin Love, man.
Way better defender, way better passer.
Is that what the question was? Who's better between Bosh and Kevin Love?
No. The question was, what do you see happening with Kevin Love? Do you see him getting traded, or you think Minnesota's going to wait it out?
No, he's gone. Ain't no waiting it out. They don't wait out probably until they get the best offer, you know, by the draft or sometime soon after the draft because, you know, you can't really make the trade official throughout the draft. But it's going to be something on draft picks because the man already told him he opting out after the season. Like, he's not coming back. So they might well get something for him while they can. And that's Minnesota. You can't afford to lose a player like Kevin Love and not get them back. You need to bring something back to try to, you know, compete. So, you know, Flip Thomas' job is on the line. You know, he just demoted himself from general manager to head coach because this is the last stop. Like, the owner wants to see the results. So he has to make it happen, and he ain't going to make it happen with Kevin Love. So Kevin Love is going to be gone sometime this summer. Where he going to go, that's up for debate. It could be Boston. It could be Golden State. It can be where else I was
Lakers.
Hearing. I was hearing
Lakers.
Well, I like the Lakers. I like, but I'm here in Chicago. Chicago and Golden State was his two top priorities where he wanted to go. So, you know, this will be interesting to see, you know, how it plays out. But Kevin Love definitely is going to be on go this summer.
Yeah, but this is different from the Dwight Howard situation in that they have Ricky Rubio still on the roster, and they don't want to start rebuilding because that might get Ricky to leave. So they want to get something back, and it's not something where they just going to take all draft picks. So that's
Kevin Love better than Dwight Howard.
No.
They can't be worried about trying to please Ricky Rubio. I mean, he ain't that type of player the way you're trying to.
Yeah, but that's how they see him. Remember, they gave Kevin Love the short extension to save the big extension for Ricky Rubio. So that's how they look at him. So, I mean, I don't agree with that either, but that's how they look at him. Where do you see him going? Like, who do you see putting a good deal on the table?
Oh, man. I see L.A., New York, maybe even Golden State, man. I think he's a West Coast kind of guy, man. So, New York, just to, you know, to try and – it depends on what happens with Melo. But those three, maybe even Chicago, man. But I doubt Chicago has the room to pull it off, but. I think Golden State from a, you know, kind of a trade perspective standpoint, being able to offer quality back. I think the Lakers probably could get involved. They only have to pick pretty much. I think they only have four players on the contract, so they can't make it work in a trade. It would have to be either he gets out of free agency and maybe ends up with the Lakers or New York, or he goes to Golden State. That'd be my prediction. Golden State and Chicago, maybe a dark horse.
Yeah. No, I agree. All those are good options. And the other thing we got to think about is somebody desperate enough to make the trade without the guarantee that Kevin Love will re-sign with them? I mean, like a Cleveland. Is Cleveland desperate enough to try that? So, I don't know.
I don't think they'd do it, man. They'd make all the wrong decisions, so, you know, fuck it. I don't think they would do that because Dan Gilbert wouldn't want to have a fiasco on his hands watching another all-star player walk and not get shit for it.
Like, they just gave up a first rounder for Luol Deng, and they're going to watch him walk for nothing. They took a risk there.
More brilliant managing over in the Cavaliers organization.
All right. I hate to be the sports show talking about sports writers, but just because this story was so big, I want to ask your opinion. You know, we've talked about him over the years, so to see somebody kind of come at him like this was kind of surprising. But on Deadspin.com, the writer Greg Howard wrote a long piece dragging Jason Whitlock. What are y'all thoughts on that, man? I talked to few guys who talk to this show every once in a while, and their contention was Deadspin is a competitor for whatever Whitlock would be doing at ESPN, so it's kind of shady that they're going after him like this. But I don't know. Did y'all read the piece? Or?
No, I haven't read it.
You didn't read it? Okay.
I haven't read it. I didn't even know that was out.
I haven't read the piece, but I mean, I really don't have a problem with right-on, right of crime. So sometimes writers say stupid stuff and they need to be checked. And unfortunately, it's going to have to come from another writer to check them, you know. You know, so I don't have no problem with that as long as your points are valid. You know, as long as it's not something that's too personal, I don't really care about personal gripes. But you genuinely disagree with, you know, a viewpoint of another writer and you want to, you know, make a rebuttal, then I'm okay with that, you know, just come with the facts and things like that, be able to articulate it. You know, don't be malicious in it, but, yeah, so you can do it in a professional manner. I'm all good with that.
All right, well, check y'all DMs tonight. I sent it to you earlier. Yeah, you're going to be surprised, man, because, I mean, he really went after him. James, did you check it out? I know James is not a fan of Whitlock, so.
Man, I don't think too many people are a fan of Whitlock.
Not really.
Except, I mean, too many people of Listen, I ain't going to say it's necessarily a black and white thing, man, but I think Whitlock panders sometimes to – he panders sometimes to, you know, what people want to hear. I don't necessarily think that he believes everything that he – every stance that he takes on a certain perspective, which necessarily has to deal with black people or black racial matters. Or things of that nature. I don't know necessarily that he personally believes, but he takes a certain stance because it's popular with a certain segment of audience, and we know who that is.
Yep. Keep getting them checks, Whitlock. That's his hustle. Yeah. So I got nothing else on that. I'll wait till we get till y'all get a chance to look at it, and we can talk about it another time. The Redskins commercial that played during the finals game last night. Like I said, but a couple months ago, Snyder started that foundation, I thought this conversation was over, but it looks like it's picking up steam again, man. Do you think your children will see a Washington football team named something differently?
As of right now, I have to say no.
Okay.
And that's for the simple fact that it's not costing them any money.
Yeah, true.
So once it's costing them money and they get no backlash, then maybe. But right now, I have to say no.
Listen, man, is this what I have to ask myself? Is this an issue that people outside of the media really pushing, or is it just a media, really propelling this thing as being an issue? Is it something that people really feel strongly about
The three tribes who put that commercial together would disagree with you, and the four who've been fighting this since like the 80s, I think they would disagree with you. So there is some blowback out there.
I mean, but is it the backlash large enough from a segment of, well, from a majority standpoint? That's
no.
What I'm saying.
No. Not at all.
Because
yeah, right
I see a lot of the media talking about it. I don't see really there's not a lot of drummed up of people who are, you know, buying the tickets. And there's not really a whole bunch of backlash there. When the Redskins play in other NFL stadiums, there's really not a backlash there with people or fans for using the Red Sox name. So it's kind of like steroids, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that we're addressing in the media, that the media really is pushing, or is it something that we don't really care too much about other? You know, well, you made a point clear that, you know, there is some Native Americans that do, but I've heard the opposite opinion too, that some Native Americans don't consider it offensive. I don't know. So that's what I'm saying. Is it really something that is really there's ground movement on?
I think no matter what, opposite opinions or unpopular opinions are going to be like that. You're going to have a small little sect of people saying this shouldn't be like that.
So if it's a small sect, how big is it that you think that will force change? If it's just a small sect of people that feel some type of way about this and everyone else doesn't see it that way?
Yeah, I don't know. I just see it as they just got to keep pushing and maybe they can get the conversation out there to where people actually think about it. Because think about the NCAA conversation we used to have before. And how unpopular our stance on that was, and now how much more popular it is now. So things can change, but right now, yeah, I think y'all right. It probably won't, but who knows?
But let me ask you a question.
Possible.
Man. Let me ask you a question. I'm not saying like I don't think that the name should be it, because anytime somebody is offended by, you know, something, you have to basically take it under consideration of what your stance is, and you know how you. You know, what it is you've done to offend whomever. But When did all this really started to become an issue? Was this back in the 90s when people started talking about it? Because the Redskins have been named the Redskins for quite some time.
It started in the last 3 years. About the last 3 to 4 years, that's when that started.
I remember something
about
it, though.
But it was still going back then. Back then, they were banning them from the stadium because they were outside boycotting them and protesting them.
Yeah, I remember something when I was in high school being a case, you know, where there were some issues about it. But the Redskins have been named the Redskins for quite some time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but just because something is wrong, try to say it's a sign of respect, and obviously it's a slur.
That.
If you're calling the team name a slur, I don't understand why you would, you know, push and fight for that. That's the part I don't get.
It is, man. But like I said, you know, anytime that something is deemed offensive to someone, it should be put under review. I'm not saying they should. I'm not saying they should change it. I'm just trying to find out, like, is it a groundswell movement that people really feel strongly about to force change? Because until that happens, man, if
it's
people don't really care about it, it's just people talking, a small segment of people talking.
True. No, I don't disagree with that at all. I would advise anybody out there, though, to look up George Preston Marshall, the original owner of the Redskins, and look at his stance about Native Americans, black people.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And everybody else. Read about former Hall of Fame football player Bobby Mitchell and his experience as the first black Redskins player, and you'll see kind of what I mean about the culture of how that thing was built and what it was meant to be. And it damn sure wasn't no damn salute or something of pride. So check it out.
That's fact, what you just said right there, man. That's facts.
Yeah, the great Bobby Mitchell, man. He got the great story of his when he signed the contract, when they brought him out for his presser, and he's standing there with George Mitchell, and Marshall didn't want to shake his hand and told the band to play Dixie. I'll let you know, man. But let's get out of that, man. Let's keep it moving football-wise. Let's go local. Falcons, I guess you could say star linebacker because he seemed like an up-and-coming star, man. Sean Weatherspoon ruptured his Achilles during rehab training. Damn, that's a sad story there. Looks like he's going to be out for the season.
He can't stay healthy. That's one of the issues that the Falcons have been having with Weatherspoon. And he was coming up on the contract, yeah, and this was one of the things they were like, should we pay him or should we not? Well, his body made the decision for him because he can't stay healthy. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's just, you know, it's consistent with where he's been since he's been in the NFL.
Is this signature moment going to be that hit on RG3 we saw on the sideline RG's rookie year?
I beg to differ, Nani. I think he came into the NFL with a bit of injury history. I think the year he was drafted, like coming into the NFL, he didn't play a lot because of
injury prone his whole career. He spent, you know, college, like he just can't never get right, you know, so it's going to be detrimental for him, but it helps Falcons in the decision making process of who to get the money to, you know. Now maybe that makes it easier for them to pay Julio Jones.
But who the hell are going to be the damn linebackers, man?
It looks like they're going to do it on the team.
They drafted like three linebackers this year alone.
This is a team with Super Bowl aspirations. Have you ever heard of any Super Bowl winners going with rookie linebackers?
Hey, well, let me say this, though.
That's a lie.
With the New England strategy, when you switch to a 3-4, if your D-line is good enough, can you get just okay linebackers? I mean, that's how New England played for a long time. They had one or two elite guys at linebacker.
Exactly, but you got to have one or two elite guys at linebacker. See, and the Falcons' problem is, what I've been trying to tell you, with in the first round, I understand you went with the left tackle in the first round. I can't knock it, but once again, you're just showing that you want to protect Matt Ryan. You want to make Matt Ryan look good, but you're not addressing the issue that you have on defense. So it's just going to come back and haunt him again because now you already lost your best linebacker for the season. You still got two young corners. We don't know how well they go. They're going to be tested. And you got safety issues because you haven't replayed Day Cool. You switching defense, you pretty much going to the 3-4. We don't know if those guys, Tyson Jackson, those guys are going to be able to. Tyson Jackson ain't done that since he's been in the league. So, you know, I'm just – I really don't think the Falcons are a playoff contender team this season. But if they want to sell people on Super Bowl and whoever buying, well, I got some swamp land for them.
Well, hold on. Let me throw this in, though, too. Are they taking the new strategy of the NFL saying we're going to outscore you, we're going to make sure we protect Matt, give him weapons, and then on defense, we're going to pretty much gamble and have Nolan come up with a scheme where we can get a turnover or two and win. It looks like that's what they're trying. Yeah. No, you're right, though. That defense, yeah, they can use a lot. We'll have to see. The people who represent Andy Dalton are looking for a Kaepernick-type deal. Ridiculous or legit?
Oh, man. Marzi
laughed. Marzi?
Come on, man. Would they really be saying that? Could they really ask for a Kaepernick? Look, man, he's nowhere nearly as impactful as Colin Kaepernick. For his agent to even if I was the NFL club and his agent said that, I would do exactly what I just did now. I would laugh, and I'd probably hang up the phone.
I mean, well, you got to ask for it, though. You know, you got to ask for it. But I don't think he get Kaepernick type money. But, you know, he can get Romo money. I'm okay with him getting $50
million. Shit, yes, man. Fuck. He don't deserve heat, man.
Man, who have been in more playoffs in the last 3 years?
It wasn't because of him, Naughty. It wasn't because of him.
He's the quarterback. You the trigger man. Somebody
he's the quarterback, but he's the one who's pretending. Who was
AJ is AJ Green producing?
Yeah, in spite of his ass.
That's because you got to have a quarterback to produce for the wide receiver to produce.
Man,
I'm not saying
AJ will produce with Mark Sanchez back then.
Well, because Mark Sanchez didn't have him, now Mark Sanchez is back up in Philly. If he had AJ Green, he'll still be starting, and he might have even went to the Super Bowl in New York with the defense they got. So I'm telling you right now.
I'm
not saying that he's a great quarterback, but look at what the market is giving us for the quarterback. Jay Cutler just got $55 million guaranteed.
Yeah, he's not even in that class.
He's winning. He's getting to the playoffs in the NFL.
Yeah, but the team
AFC
is built
North.
Solidly around it. They have a solid defense. They had a solid running
game.
You could almost make the point that they haven't exceeded where the team that he's been given because of his ass.
I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm saying let's look at the market that has been set. What has Jay Cutler done? What has Tony Romo done?
I say he ain't in that class.
What has Matt Ryan done? Like, I mean.
Compared to Andy Dalton to those guys, he's done a lot. I mean,
the greatest thing about
football
is we're going to see all of this on the field next year. We'll see if he gets the contract. We'll see him get on the field again, and we'll see what type of season he has.
They're going to franchise him.
They do have that infamous chief owner in Cincinnati.
They're probably not
going to
franchise him.
It'd be crazy as hell to give Andy Dalton a $50 million guaranteed.
Nah, give him
that motherfucker. He better come out there and play like Tom Brady this year, then I will agree with you. But until he shows me that he can,
that's what.
Okay, let's take this view.
That's snowballing right now.
Let's take this view. Do you do like Baltimore and say, okay, go out there and prove that you're worth whatever you're asking for?
Yes.
Or do you pay him like Nadia's saying right now because
I say you do like how they did Joe Flacco. Prove it, motherfucker, because right now we don't see it.
Well, I agree with that. I'm not saying pay him right now. I'm saying eventually you're going to probably have to pay him. But, you know, sometimes it's better to pay a quarterback than have him playing on the lane duck contract just for his comfort level. You know, but I'm okay with them letting them play out the rest of this contract and then, you know, at the end of the season, evaluating them and making a decision going forward. But, hell, he can cost you more money that way.
Yeah, he might.
Let them mess around and win a Super Bowl. Then you got to make him the highest paid quarterback in the league. And he's not worth that. Yeah, 50. That's lowballing. That's nothing.
Yeah, we'll see. That owner of the Browns is notorious. I mean, the Bengals is notoriously cheap. So it's going to be interesting. James, you want to say something on that? Because you ain't say nothing.
No, I'm good on that, man.
I'm about to lay it down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know you got to get up in the morning. All right, James. All right, y'all be easy, man. I'll let y'all know. Right, send me the invite.
And
I'll
see you
the invite.
All right. One. All right. And moving on to Barzy's friend in Florida, Will Muschamp. He had to let go of one of his assistants today, Joker Phillips. Barzy, I know you got some information, man.
Man, actually, I don't, man. I just saw that, man. Man, I don't know what the hell, man. It seems like, I mean, it's about like the third year in a row some shit like that's happened. I don't know, man. Apparently, they said it could have something to do with recruiting violations. Some people say health reasons. Fucking fine on that. But, I mean, I can tell you this much. From them not having a wide receiver position coach the year before he got the position, and then this past year, the wide receivers made a vast improvement, man. So I think it's a big loss, man, a big loss, regardless of whatever brought about, you know, the resignation. It's a big loss, man, for Florida.
Right.
Chris Leak is apparently supposed to replace him with no coaching experience. I'm not sure what they could do. I'm not sure what they could do with you know, this stage in the game. With somebody with experience, but apparently, you know, Chris Leak has been on there and working closely with the offensive coordinator and ready to step into position. So they're gonna give him a shot. I just don't like to hear this thing where this is a crucial year, man. For the program in general, man, and Will Muschamp, that this has to take place, and you're going in there with a guy who's never coached the wide receiver position. You know, basically, this is pretty much his first job, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know how it's going to turn out, man. I just hope for the best. You know, it's shocking, though. I didn't anticipate this happening, man. He's only been there for 1 year. Just like I said, this is about the third or fourth coach, man, who's left the program over the past 3 or 4 years, man. Who, you know, same kind of circumstances like this, man. You know, resigning. You know, it's hard to be a successful team if you don't have continuity, man, in the coaching staff. So, I'm hoping for the best, man.
All right. Understood, man. Hopefully your boy Muschamp bounces back this year. We'll see. Kind of bringing it local with the Falcons getting a new stadium soon. I don't know if y'all saw this story, but the Rams Dome is running out of public money. And basically, they can opt out of their lease this next year. So after this year, they can opt out of their lease. And right now they're asking for an extra $40 million to upgrade the dome. This is what Falcons fans have to look forward to in the future. Every couple of years, you're going to get a nice little threat and cash grab and threat to leave. So either St. Louis comes up with that money or we'll start the whole cycle again of threatening to move to L.A. and all that other stuff that's coming.
I don't think the Falcons have that issue ever worrying about, you know, relocating. Definitely as long as off the blank off the team. But, you know, but with the Rams, that's a different situation. The Rams have been a traveling franchise, you know, since the beginning. So, you know, they came from L.A. So, you know, it would
probably be... Yeah, but locally, we've never told Arthur no, though, Nadi. if Arthur gets told no and a certain amount of public money that he's expecting, we turn him down.
Remember that was floated out there when the stadium was being discussed.
He's never going to get told no. That's
good point.
Yeah, but you remember though, Donnie. Remember that they floated that out there when they let that be known. If you know, if we don't get a stadium, it might be a possibility where, you know, and that was a whole LA thing. Remember Blank flew out to LA? You remember that?
Arthur Blank put the Falcons out of Atlanta the next year, another team being Atlanta. It's the South.
Yeah, I never said that, man.
Georgia.
I would
you
never say that.
You can't have
though.
Football in Georgia. It just can't happen ever.
Hey,
yeah.
I would never say never, bro. I would never say never.
The thing is, you got to be careful with these leagues because when you show that you're willing to not pay a certain amount or whatever, look at what the NBA's done to Seattle. The Sonics had a long, good fan base for a long time. People want the Sonics to come back, and they can't get a team for nothing now.
That's my point. People in the South are never going to say no because they want football. Everybody is never going to have that issue. Mm. We want football in the South.
Hey, man, the people were saying no when they were talking about building that stadium when they had to come out of pocket. If the people had to come out of pocket, I tell you, that stadium ain't being built
where people saying no?
There was a lot of people. There was a backlash about the people having to pay. Nobody wanted to put the Falcons in the new stadium if it had to come from public money.
But that was because the Georgia Dome was relatively new. Wasn't that wrong with the Georgia Dome? That's why people were having, you know,
that's what happens in every one of these
stadium.
Situations.
but once you started talking about Super Bowl coming in, they started giving you the financial layout. People started backing off, and they said yes. And now you're gonna have a new stadium in 2017. That's how it works.
Okay. All I'm saying is this Rams story, we will see it down here in ATL.
The Rams is a whole different situation. And
I'm just saying,
Rams,
they're
going to
keep coming back.
Go ahead and pay that $40 million, upgrade the stadium, and keep the team in St. Louis. Because they will move back to L.A. And L.A. is home as fuck. And they're building the stadium right now. They ain't even got no team. They building the stadium. Because they know somebody between Jacksonville, San Diego, and St. Louis. One of them going to L.A. soon.
Yeah, they're going to try to catch somebody slipping. But we'll see, man. Like I said, I just think this is part of the process now. Once you get it, you got to keep coming back for more. So we'll see. The NCAA reached a $20 million settlement with the EA Sports lawsuit. So for the years that we were playing NCAA football, and you knew who certain guys were by the number, and by, you know, where they put the wristbands and how they moved and all that, you knew who guys were, and everybody would just download the names for their game. Well, now they got to pay. So I think that's a good thing to see some of these guys get paid for being featured in a game they saw no revenue from. The great Tyrone Prothro, he's getting a check. They actually had his wristbands and knee bands in the game on him, how he wore him in the game. If y'all remember him, the Alabama receiver that broke his leg on that catch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he, I thought he was going to be that dude. But
He was fucking done from that injury.
Yeah.
He was done.
Yeah.
But this is big news, though, man, because this is the beginning stages of players getting paid in college.
Yep.
Because now the president has been set. Okay, you're going to pay them for using their likeness, and then you got to really pay them for using their likeness, you know.
Well, see, this is the thing what I raised the thing about a long time ago, man. What's let these guys from being able to profit off their likeness? It don't cost the school money. You know what I mean? This should have never been an issue to why these guys couldn't profit off their own likeness as being college football players. If it's done in the right way, if the school has structured it, to where, you know, the kid can't profit off his own life. I mean, it's only in football where somebody can do this. Like, you could actually be, you know, training for track and field, and you could, you know, actually, you know, have, you know, like the kid from the
Jeremy Bloom, the skier.
Yeah. It's only with football you have this damn problem in that sport that you're in, But yet he could train for the Olympics, and he has all kind of endorsement deals. Because it doesn't pertain to football, he's allowed to do it. So, I mean, it can be structured, man. It's the NCAA's fault why we're here. I mean, NCAA got too greedy, man. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. That's what all this is about.
Yep. And today, the ACC distributed a record $291 million. That's pretty much $20 million for every school in the conference for their sports this year. And by sports, I mean football and basketball. So, yeah, man, the money keeps coming, so you know how it is. That part's not going to change. They're actually in court on the O'Bannon case right now, and the O'Bannon side has an economist named Roger Noel speaking for them. He was in there all day today, and he's going to be back in there tomorrow. One important exchange was the lawyer for the NCAA said, you realize that the NCAA only makes rules with the agreement of the colleges. The economist said back, that's called a cartel, sir. This thing is getting uglier and uglier, man. It is what it is. So everybody just try to keep abreast of that, you know, that thing that's going on. We'll see how it plays out. It's come a long way from people bringing it up and immediately people getting mad at you and saying, no, they don't need to get paid. They don't need to get anything. They should just be happy with an education to where we are now. So,
and it wasn't a – man, we could get stay. We could stay on all this on the NBA, man. Just, I mean, sorry, the NCAA. We could, you know, talk about that shit forever, man. But we all know what the deal is, man. The people who say that shit, you know, they're not in college, man, going with scholarships, man. You got people like, I hear people on the radio say, well, the scholarship is a source of payment. Well, that doesn't necessarily, unless you, everybody's coming into college in the same economic state, family financial state, it's not quite equal. So therefore, there has to be concessions made when the scholarship, in order to maintain your scholarship, you have a full-time job playing that sport.
And
you can't
and
have
just
any.
The money being generated, like Bomani Jones said, look, if Bob Stoops has a problem with those players getting paid and he thinks education is enough, then Oklahoma should pay him an education. He should get $4 million worth of classes instead of $4 million and see what he says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pay up. If somebody's generating money, pay them. Somebody goes to work, pay them.
I told you, man, this thing could have been handled if they would have had the foresight to see to let these stars and some players profit off their own likeness.
Yep, but then they would have had a leg to stand on. You're right. They would have done that. Switching up sports real quick. The one and only Oscar De La Hoya is going into the Hall of Fame. I'm going to ask you about that. And also the second part is Richard Schaefer is leaving Golden Boy, and Floyd Mayweather has said he's cut ties with Golden Boy. So more than likely he's going with Schaefer. They might be starting their own thing. What do you think about those two things?
Well,
I think you got to let Oscar in, right? As a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he definitely is a Hall of Famer. So there's no complaint there for me. You know, Mayweather, you know, business is business. You know, they're breaking away for, you know, I think De La Hoya got some personal issues he's going through, man. You know, some real sick stuff he going through. So, you know, it might be best to break ties right now. You know, I have no problem with guys breaking business. And him getting with Shaver, I mean, they can do some big things on their own. You know, Mayweather is coming to the end of his career. You know, I know he probably got another good three, maybe four fights left in him, but he's going to probably do a lot more things on the business side. So, you know, good for him, you know, that he's exploring, you know, his options.
Yeah.
Is Hopkins still going to stick on with Golden Boy?
I think
Hopkins is part of that whole Golden Boy promotions, right? Like as far as in the business dealings. I see him there every time.
Yeah, he's part of it.
Okay. Did any word on what he's going to do? Or is he
no, they didn't say anything about Hopkins in the articles I've read.
I mean, it's to be expected, man. I mean, Ford's going to be – Ford's going to do is what – you know, Ford's got a pretty good business sense. So if he doesn't see something quite right, you know, he's going to make the move. I ain't got no problems. I'm not going to argue on what Floyd does. But, yeah, De La Hoya's a Hall of Famer, man, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt.
Okay.
Hey, man, and speaking of that, man, if you want to, you know, sometime to point a show, conduct that thing that we've been talking about, we can do that too, man. So
no, we can do that right now. I maintain that Floyd Mayweather is the best fighter of this era. There's not many great fighters in this era. Barzi maintains that Mayweather has kind of ducked and shaped his record in a certain way to make him look better than what he is.
I didn't say that. I ain't going all that far, man. But I said that his fighters that he's come along that he did not fight. And you told me to make a list
mm-hmm.
of the top of fighters who he did not fight.
Okay.
Because I said there's a pattern of this. There's been over the course of his career that guys that he probably should have fought that were the best in his division or his weight class or whatever, for some reason he did not fight. Whatever the reasons are, man. It could be there's more than one reason that why fights don't get done. But I'm saying there's a pattern of it. So you said make a list, man. I got a list.
Let's go.
So
let's
I can
go.
Start. All right, man. I got Ponce de Leon when he was a featherweight. I got Costa Zu when he was 140 pounds. Paul Williams, Eric Morales, Joel Casamayor, Margarito, he never fought. Obviously, you got Pacquiao. There was also a discussion when he was supposed to fight Winky Wright. Never fought him. Then Asselino Freitas, never fought him. These are some pretty good boxers that were in his class or when he was in a certain weight class that he never ended up fighting. Then I'm gonna say the three guys that right now that probably would garner some attention. Not to say that he ducked any of them, but I'll just throw them in as honorable mention. He'll probably end up fighting Amerikan sometime here soon, maybe one of his last fights. Timothy Bradley and
maybe yeah
Timothy Bradley. I think that maybe a fight that he could look into, but I doubt that'll end up happening. Not to say that he ducked him, but all those other guys that I just named, Ponce de Leon, I mean, you could go look at these guys' records, man. It's almost amazing that he never fought them being in the weight classes, being in the weight classes that he was in at the time. So all those guys.
Yeah, Ponce de Leon, I don't remember. Costa Zu, Casamayor, those guys, I got to know time and like what the money was saying at the time. Like if,
hey man,
okay,
I'm
like
saying
Margarito,
never...
Margarito's profile wasn't big enough at the time to fight him. I could understand.
No, they said this is what was recalled with Margarito because I had to do my research, son. So I told you about this. They said Margarito, there was more lucrative fights on the table for him. Which okay, you want to make that argument, but he never faced him. He still got that.
Margarito was tarnished, though, because he had the Cotto fight where he had the plaster in his gloves. He won that fight, and then he ended up losing to Paul Williams and Shane Mosley. So,
Margarito? That Pacquiao beat him before that, didn't he?
No, Pacquiao, I think, was after. Pacquiao beat
Floyd,
him.
Pacquiao beat
him. Floyd didn't beat Margarito?
No, he never fought him.
He never fought him. And
Margarito had already lost to Shane.
I'm thinking about Marquez. I'm thinking about Marquez.
Right. No, because remember, when he lost to Shane Mosley, that was when Shane Mosley's trainer found the plaster before the fight.
And that's when the plaster
came out there, and we started looking at that Cotto fight like, whoa, so this guy probably cheated and beat Cotto. And then he lost again to Paul Williams after that. He lost
I thought he beat
Paul,
Paul
Williams.
Williams.
No,
he
Paul Williams
Paul?
Beat him up.
Okay.
Paul Williams was my guy back then.
Yeah.
I thought
there was some. Who did Paul Williams lose to?
Sergio Martinez knocked him out twice.
Maybe I'm getting them too confused. I thought it was Margarito that beat him, man, but you may be right. But Eric Morales, I mean, Eric Morales is probably a boxing Hall of Famer too. Never fought him. Can you believe that?
Yeah, but Morales was in a different – by the time Floyd was – Floyd, Morales was still in the little division with Pacquiao now. Remember? Morales was a little guy.
Yeah, but he was in a period of time for him, but he never fought when they were in the same division. They never fought.
Yeah.
They never fought when he had a chance. That's what I'm saying. It, you know, it's kind of – I'm just – I'm not – it's kind of – there's a pattern. I'm saying draw your own conclusion. But Costa Zou, what'd you say the reason was for that?
Costa Zou, I would say Ricky Haddon got to him first and kind of retired. Remember Ricky Haddon?
No, but he had a chance to fight Costa Zou before that Ricky Haddon.
Yeah,
this is at 140.
Yeah, because Ricky fought Costa Zou fought Zab Judah. He beat the hell out of Zab with the infamous knockout of Zab's slide across the ring. No, but Zou lost that fight to Ricky Haddon, and that was it. He was done.
Yeah, but he had a chance to fight him before the Hat fight.
He was much older than those guys.
Yeah, Costa Zou was there was a period where Costa Zou was pretty much the top contender. He didn't fight him. He was one of the top contenders.
Do you think Costa Zou won any part of Floyd? I don't think he won any part of Floyd, man.
I forget. There was a reason when I did my research that they said there was a potential why that fight never happened. I can't remember why it is. I don't know if it was bad timing because, timing is everything. But whatever the reason, he didn't fight him, man. I'm sure that, if there was, like I said, with Floyd, if there is a fight to be made and he actually wants to make the fight, I'm sure it could end up happening. But they never fought. Joe Casamayor.
I have no idea why that didn't happen.
It was actually this. Winky Wright. There was discussions where Winky Wright had called Floyd out, and the fight was supposed to happen at 154 pounds. But I think that they said they blame Winky Wright for that more than Floyd. But it never ended up happening. But whatever the case is, they didn't fight. So that would have been a good fight that everybody would have enjoyed seeing, I feel. Because, where they say style make fight?
Yeah.
Make fights, and Wiki had
a
horrible
fight.
Yeah.
Nah,
I hate Wiki Wright fighting.
He
has got Floyd, who's
he
still
for? He had an unorthodox style, though, man. Wiki Wright had an unorthodox style that was hard to – it's even hard to spar to get – people are smart like that against being a lefty, and he had that that defense, and he was a counterpuncher too. It would have made for an interesting fight. All these people I'm naming off, I'm not saying Floyd would have lost to. It's just interesting that he never fought. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that would have been either real entertaining or a really boring fight, and I think more than likely boring because two counterpunching guys, defensive guys. Yeah, man. Shit.
Well, Floyd would have had to score points, so I think Floyd would have probably, he would have done what he always done. It probably would have been, like you say, it would have either been interesting or boring. You know what Floyd would have done? He would have tried to win on points, so he would pick his shots, and he wouldn't take really much chances, and it would have been a decision, and that's how it would have been.
I think you can make an argument for a bunch of those fighters that you named. A couple of them I don't even know about, so I can't really speak on. But I think you can make an argument for it that he didn't fight the guys. But I think that's based off of just how boxing changed after Roy Jones, when HBO and Showtime got involved and started doing those, packages with fighters. We do a 5-fight deal for X amount of dollars, and guys fought safe guys or entertaining guys that they could fight or guys with a name. So the idea of you fighting the number one contender, those days are gone, man. The money has kind of changed it. So I can't necessarily put all this on Floyd. I think that's just the way boxing is now. How many years do we want Roy and Bernard to fight again?
We didn't want it when it happened. By the time it happened, nobody wanted it.
Right.
Exactly. We never get the fight we want when we want. When we got hold of Phil Tyson, that was way after we wanted it, really get it. I mean, it was still a good, pay-per-view opportunity, but we really had wanted to see that fight 7 years before it happened.
with the boxing game was really, you know, was really in the really the boxing game, man. You had the contenders. You had the contenders, and those guys knew they had to fight the contenders at some point in time. But now these days, man, it don't even move like that. I don't know whether that's probably maybe the past 10 years, but you have these contenders, man. You almost have to pray for the fight to happen. But back in the day, you had the contenders, and you knew at some point in time either the dude was going to get stripped of the title, or he was going to have to fight the dude. Now, I don't even seem like that's the case.
You got to do something really exciting to make the guy fight you, or it just ain't gonna happen, man, because it ain't worth the risk. So they're gonna fight their guy, you're gonna fight your guy, y'all both gonna keep making money.
Hey, man, what people really need to be calling for is the regulation of boxing, man.
Yes, sir.
That's what it should be calling for, but you know.
As much as I hate Dana White, boxing needs their own version of them. They need one league. And really set it up, and you got to fight the best fighters. And then, yeah, I agree. But the way it is now, the best, they're just going to fight whoever they think can draw revenue. So Floyd, I think Floyd either going to have that rematch or he's going to fight Amir Khan.
I'll give credit where credit's due. He had to, you know, that's what I said. I always wanted to see Floyd be tested and have to really dig deep. I'm not going to say that he conned the people by carrying that dude. It was actually I actually got to watch that on free Showtime the week after it happened. So I did actually when they had Showtime for free, man. I actually watched Mike's fight, man, and it was tough, man. Yeah, you know he did get tested. I don't know whether that had to do with people like say that he had a lot of shit on his mind from what was going on in his personal life, if that had any effect on him.
No, I think dude just dirtied the fight up, man, and made it a good fight. I mean,
yeah, but he did what I told you, what I always wanted to see people do: press Floyd and make him have to let his hands go. And you know, that's what happened. I'm not saying it was an argument made that Floyd could have lost. That Floyd probably he threw more power punches, no question about it. But you know,
if you say Maidana won that fight in any way, that means you're giving him a whole lot of stuff on the ropes.
Floyd landed the more powerful shots, but Donald was the busier fighter, man.
Yeah, because he was pushing. He had that 20-pound weight advantage, and he used it. He was pushing Floyd up against the ropes and throwing. Man, he was throwing UFC hammer fists, dude. It just wasn't landed most of the time. That's why I couldn't give it to him. But that was a good-ass fight, and he fought the best way he could. Like, I'm going to use the advantage I got, and I'm going to keep coming forward.
Just the fact that it was up in the air in a Floyd fight, mm-hmm. lets you know that dude fought a pretty good fight. But you're right. There's talk that he's going to fight Amir Khan. From what I hear, from what I read, is that you know that's on the table and that probably will happen. Which I expect him to to outclass Amir Khan. I don't think he's ready for a dude like Floyd. I think there's only really realistically three fights left on the table for Floyd at this stage in his career, and then probably that's it, man.
Amir Khan, Maidana rematch, Pacquiao. Close the show.
That's it.
Yeah, man. I didn't mean to get so stuck on boxing, but me and Barry have been obsessed with this shit for a good month or so, man. And I don't know. I think you laid out a good argument, but
that was it. You told me to come up with
ten. I don't know some of those guys.
Hey, you told me to come up with 10, though. If you could do your research.
Yeah, you came with 10. Yeah, you came with it. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying I don't know some of those guys just because my boxing knowledge isn't thorough enough. Like the Ponce de Leon you got, you know, who the hell is that?
Hey, man. Look up Ponce de Leon, man.
I will, man, but.
He was title holder in the featherweight division when Floyd came into it. I think Floyd originally came through the featherweight division, man.
Yeah, I remember him being small. But this is Speaking Like You Think It, man. We're just kind of getting it in, man. No more topics really left. We just went into boxing. OneManCave.com is the website for Naughty Dread. Just started, fresh sports site. Everybody check it out. You guys got any parting shots y'all want to talk about, man, before we dip out of here, though?
What'd you say that site was? Hey, Nari, what was that site again, man?
The site?
Yeah.
One Man Cave. That's the number one. ManCave.com. Just go on the site, man, and enjoy yourself. You should make it your home page. You can navigate there from, and go anywhere else you're trying to go.
Right.
I'm about to check it out. All right, man. All right, check it out, man. All right, so y'all got anything before we get out of here? My point is to check out the site, onemancave.com. Also, Country Versus Truth will be back. You know, it's up. So, you know, check that out.
Yes,
pretty,
sir.
Yeah, well, I pretty much tell you what's going to happen. Like I told everybody else that Game 3 was going to go down exactly the way it went down. So, you know, if you want to know the future before it happens, you go to onemancave.com.
I that's what's up. Check
and
out
my
the website and the radio show.
My parting shot, man, we never talk about it on the show, and pretty much probably for good reason. World Cup start Thursday, man. And I admit, I'm not the biggest soccer fan, man, but I'm pumped up for this World Cup, man. I'm
so the drinking and hanging out, or you really want to see it?
I really want to see it, man. Being in Brazil, there's going to be some mad hot chicks in the stands.
Yes,
it's going to be, you know, in Brazil. It's probably one of the most jacked atmospheres, sporting events that probably in the world that you could go to. So, I'm just excited to take in some of it, even though I'm going to be taking it in and, you know, watching it either in the bars or by myself. But I'm just really excited for it, man. I think it's becoming more of a big thing in this country as far as the World Cup, man. But if people who actually get a chance, man, tune into some of the games, man. You know, it's just interesting. It's just an interesting thing that, you know, that you can do. I'm not a big soccer fan, man. I really don't pay attention much to soccer. But when I had the chance to watch the World Cup 4 years ago, man, and it's just it was interesting, man. And I think if you give it a shot, this go around, people who don't really pay attention to soccer, man, you'd be pleasantly surprised, man.
All right. Hey, if I'm out there at the right time, I go to a bar, I hang out in the bar and watch it, but. At the crib, I don't see it going down. But either way, like you said, most popular sport in the world, this is the big event. So might as well at least enjoy the festivities. I just wanted to throw out there, I don't know who that Cuban dude is, but the dude that threw the ball from the corner of the field all the way to home plate to get that dude out, y'all know I'm not a baseball fan. I was shocked at that.
Hey, man, that's happened. That's what you call it. Oh, man, Bo Jackson used to do that shit on a reg.
Man, dude, Gundy, man. It was like 300 feet. It was like 300 feet, right?
Yeah.
From where he got to play through it?
I'm telling you, man, this thing's happening in baseball. The cats who got the greatest arm, they can execute those types of throws, man. Bo Jackson used to do it. There was a cat who played here in Atlanta for some time, but I think he made most of his hay in St. Louis. Mark Whitten had one of those arms. But when you actually encounter one of the guys who have those types of arms, man, you'd be playing for something like that, a play like that to go down, man, or for that guy to get the opportunity to show off that type of arm, man, because like I told the cat when I showed that, this is a play you can go on YouTube right now and look up Bo Jackson where he threw out Harold Reynolds from like the wall on the fly. I'm talking just from third base, man. He threw him out running around the third base all the way from the wall with a BB, man. They said the catcher was walking off the field like he thought the run was going to score, and then he had to run back to get in position because the ball was coming, man. I mean, if you ever get a chance to, you know, YouTube that, look at that, man. You can see Harold Reynolds was shocked when he actually got tagged out by Bo. So if you ever get a chance, man, just look at that. Bo had one of the sickest arms ever, man.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out tonight, man. This is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. Check us out next Wednesday, man. We'll come back and lay it down. Good good to speak to everybody. Thank y'all for coming on, man. We up out of here.
All right, man.
All right.